Psalm 24. This is God's Word. Psalm 24. The earth is the Lord's, and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. For He founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters. Who may ascend to the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in His holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to an idol or swear by what is false. He will receive blessing from the Lord and vindication from God his Savior. Such is the generation of those who seek Him, who seek Your face, O God of Jacob. Lift up your heads, O you gates. Be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O you gates. Lift them up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord Almighty, He is the King of glory. We've been talking the last 2 weeks, and this is the third week, about the three great lies. We began by talking about the lie that we are simply a cosmic accident, that there is no creator. Everything is simply a product of some random explosion. You know, it's really weird. Anywhere in the world you go, if there's an explosion, the cops just don't say, must have been a random explosion. There's always a cause. They have giant telescopes. I still don't know how many. Somebody will have to look that up. But they have these giant telescopes directed at the sky to try to find proof of intelligent life out there. And their argument is, if they can find a pattern that is not natural, they will know that it's alive. That it's not simply a happenstance, that there's alien life out there somewhere, if they can find an intelligent pattern. But they look at our DNA and say it's an accident. Once you deny the Creator, it begins a cascade. And we talked last week about God as judge. If He's not the Creator, then He's not the judge. He has no right to judge if He's not the Creator. And today, we come to the third of that trilogy of lies. And that is the lie of ownership. Who belongs to whom? Who owns it? Who is it? Well, this is answered very clearly in the first words of the Bible. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, there is a law. See, we've lost this. You go to any society in the world where they haven't been polluted by our stupidity, and they understand absolutely that if you make something, it is yours. We have a huge problem today, not just in our nation, but especially in many parts of the world, especially places like China, the theft of intellectual property. People create things and it's stolen. Piracy. We understand if you make it, it's yours. The psalmist is clear about that. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. God owns it. God owns every single family in America. Every child in America belongs to Him. Every person. Every house. I heard a story one time about a church that God just came down in a miraculous revival. It was in South America. And the people were so transformed that as the weeks went by of this outpouring of God's Spirit, they became so enamored of God that they said, it's all His. And they brought all of the deeds to their homes in and brought them to the church and say, we're giving them to God. Some of the people in the church said, oh, we can sell all the houses and build a great cathedral. And the people said, are you nuts? Where would the people live? And they said, no, we're not going to sell your houses. You live in them. You keep them up. You use them. But from now on, they belong to God. They said the transformation was amazing. We used to have, they said in the church, it used to be a missionary would come into town and they'd have no place to stay. All of a sudden you could call up anyone in the church and say, God needs His house. There's a missionary coming. Can you put him up? Oh, of course. I remember when I first came here, we were going on a church trip. I believe it was up to Sight and Sound. And we'd scheduled it months in advance. And about a month and a half or 2 months before it came up, long after it had all been planned, the tickets been bought, everything had happened, somebody came and wanted to get married on that day. So I had to give up my ticket and not go to the trip. But they needed transportation, and so I just picked somebody in the church and I said, here's the keys to my van, just drive my van and take that and go with it and take the people. And they said, oh, I couldn't do that. That's yours. You see, we don't understand. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. For He founded it. He made it. Whose is it? This verse is quoted by Paul in 1 Corinthians 10:26. 1 Corinthians 10:26, Paul picks up on this and quotes this exact psalm when he's arguing with the Christians, the Corinthians, about how they live. And in 1 Corinthians 10:26, he says, eat anything sold in the meat market without raising questions of conscience, for the earth is the Lord and everything in it. He said, this idea that God owns it all has consequences. I don't know how many of you have been following the news, but in Maryland, our sister state here, just down the road a little ways, this horrible situation of a ninth grader raped by two men, one 18, one 17, that because they came from outside the country, the school system in its unmitigated gall said, put them in a ninth grade class with a bunch of 14-year-olds. And these two men dragged this girl into a bathroom, beat her, and raped her. And they had the unmitigated gall to say there better not be any complaints about this. You see, when we don't understand who owns things, there's problems. And when we don't understand that we don't own it, you see, that's the whole lie. Well, one more verse before we go there. Look at Psalm 100. Psalm 100, verse 3. Psalm 100. Psalm 100, verse 3. Psalm 100, verse 3. Know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. And you know, even that metaphor falls down because the shepherd didn't create the sheep. We are His in a way that no sheep belongs to a shepherd, because the shepherd did not make the sheep. He made us. We are His. And this cuts to the very argument that is so crucial in the lie, because you see, all of the lies that are taught today are based on a refutation of this truth. Take the terrible scourge of abortion. 100 million children killed in America alone. And don't think that we're the be-all and end-all of abortion. If you want to really talk about abortion, go to other countries where 100 million pales to insignificance with the numbers that have been killed. Russia and China both make that 100 million number look like a rounding error. But here's the argument. Doesn't a woman have a right to do what she wants with her body? But you see, if the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, if it is He who made us and we are His, then it's not my body. It's not your body. Who are you to tell me who I can marry? We belong to someone else. Then they have every right to tell us who we can marry and who we cannot. It's my life. I can do what I want with it. And it's not just who made us, but who we were made for. Colossians is very clear. Colossians 1:16. Colossians 1:16. Paul is writing about the glory of Christ. And in Colossians 1:16, for by Him, Jesus, all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things were created by Him and for Him. It belongs to Him. It's created for His purpose. For believers, if there is anyone, and it blows my mind how people will claim to be Christians these days and then believe exactly like Satan. You need to understand this. People say, oh, these are the worst of all days. I don't believe that. There have been many days in the world that have been as bad as this. You know, the Dark Ages are called the Dark Ages for a reason. But there has never, as Richard Owen Roberts points out so adroitly, there has never been a time in the history of the Christian church in the last 2,000 years, there has never been a time when there have been so many people who profess to have a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ, but live such unholy lives. It's never happened before. There have always been false Christians. And there's always been great deception. There are many people throughout history who said, I'm a Christian because I was baptized as an infant. Or I'm a Christian because I was born in this country. Or I'm a Christian because I attend church. There's always been that, but there has never been so many people that say, I have had a personal encounter with Jesus Christ and live like Satan. But for believers, it is doubly so. Paul, writing to the Corinthians, a troubled church, a church that really wasn't getting it. Well, you want to read a letter for today? Read Corinthians. All of our issues are addressed because we're the church at Corinth. First Corinthians 6:20. You were bought with a price. For anyone who says in any measure, I'm a Christian, which is an arrogant statement to make in and of itself. That's why in the Bible they never called themselves Christians. People on the outside called them Christians. They called themselves believers, followers of the way, disciples. You were bought. So, the argument goes, not only did God make you so you are His because of His creating you, but on top of that, when you sold yourself into slavery, He paid the price to buy you back. He doubly owns you. Therefore, honor God with your body. Who do I belong to? Romans chapter 14. Verse 7. Romans 14:7. If a person professes to be a believer, here's what it says. For none of us lives to himself alone. Boy, do we live that verse or what these days? Are you kidding me? What's in it for me? We have an entire church in America that's designed around the only reason we get people out is we provide them enough entertainment that they'll come back next week. There was a church in the area, I don't even know if it still exists or not, but sent out these flyers to every mailbox in I don't know how wide, but boy, everybody got them. The only sin in America is that church is boring. Really? That's our greatest problem. You see, here's where the rubber meets the road. This is why the so-called scientific community fights for all they're worth to deny creation. This is why they look at creation and it causes them to go insane. And when they look into the face of God and see the order and reason of the universe, instead of bowing before the Creator, they come up with convoluted stupidity to try to come up with some way that maybe it happened by accident. Is because, you see, if He owns us, if He created us, He owns us. If He owns us, He gets to make the rules. If I go to your house, and when I come in, you say, could you please take off your shoes? They're new carpets. Nobody gets to bring their shoes into the house. What do I have to do? I can leave, or I can take off my shoes, because you see, if it's your house, you get to set the rules, don't you? Well, I don't do that in my house. Doesn't matter what I do in my house. I'm in your house. You see, if God created it and He owns it, then He gets to make the rules. He gets to say who can marry whom. He can say, what things we can do and what things we cannot do. He can tell the government how much taxes should be and what is an illegitimate amount of taxes. He can tell politicians what laws they can pass and what laws they cannot pass. You see, that's where the rubber hits the road. That's why they don't want to acknowledge a creator, because if He's the creator, He's also the lawgiver. And the cry of the human heart, Jesus told in a parable when He said there was a man who was to be made king. And so he went off to a far country and he left his servants in charge. But while he was gone, his servants conspired against him and said what? We will not allow this man to rule over us. What Psalm 2 says. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The rulers of the earth and the kings set themselves together against the Lord and His anointed, saying, we'll break their fetters. Who are you to tell me how to live? If I want to marry a man, I'll marry a man. If I want to marry a woman, I'll marry a woman. Now we've got people, I want to marry a 5-year-old. And if you don't think they're going to push for that, I want you to think, those of you who have hair the color of mine, I want you to think about what people said about homosexual marriage 30, 40 years ago. Who makes the rules? That's the first question humanity was ever asked. First challenge humanity was ever given. In the Garden of Eden, Genesis 3:5. God knows in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will know by your own choice what's good and what's evil. You'll make up your mind. Nobody will tell you. as I had a child say to me one time, "You're not the boss of me." Look with me at Isaiah 33. Isaiah 33. This verse is the foundation of the American Constitution. If you're not aware of that, you should be. This verse, the people who framed our Constitution were men of the Word of God, men who gave their lives to studying the Word of God. Although Thomas Jefferson, the least, or at least one of the two or three least religious men among the founding fathers, wrote the Declaration of Independence mostly because no one wanted to do it, he was not entrusted with the task of writing the Constitution. Most people don't know that. They think that Thomas Jefferson wrote it all. He did not. He was not entrusted with that deliberately, because they didn't trust him because he was not a Bible-believing Christian. And yet, if you go to his monument in Washington, D.C., the one monument they want to tear down worse than anything, you will see scripture all around the thing, the scriptures that he studied and committed to memory and exposited on. I once asked a Washington, D.C. Mall Park police, could I have a copy of the inscriptions on the Jefferson Memorial? You know, they always have stuff all about it and what's written and, you know, down to what shoe size the architect wore. He said, "No, we're not allowed to give that out." I said, "Are you kidding me? It's a national monument. It's here on the..." "No, we're not allowed to give that out." "You're kidding me right now." "I am not kidding you. We're not allowed. We've taken that down from the website. We're not allowed." "Why would that be? Why would that be?" He couldn't answer that question, or didn't want to answer that question. We know why. But Thomas Jefferson didn't write the Constitution. He wasn't entrusted with that. When they wrote the Constitution, they based our Constitution on this verse, Isaiah 33:22. "For the Lord is our judge, the Lord is our lawgiver, the Lord is our king. It is He who will save." 33:22. "The Lord is our judge. The Lord is our lawgiver." Do you see the three branches of government there? The judicial, the Lord is our judge. The legislative, the Lord is our lawgiver. And the executive, the Lord is our king. When the framers of our Constitution framed our Constitution, they devised three separate branches of government, dividing up the task that God, only God alone, is fit to put into one person. He's the lawgiver. He makes the rules. It is amazing that when our nation recognized that in our law, and you can go back into the history of jurisprudence, fascinating study if you ever have an opportunity to do something. Go back into the history of jurisprudence and you will watch the textbooks throughout the 1700s and 1800s, the textbooks of the United States of America in schools like Harvard, which was the premier law school in America. The textbooks they used talked about the natural law. That God has established a law that all human laws must mirror. There was a standard for law based on God's law. It's there in the textbooks. But as the attack on God, the Creator, and God, the lawgiver, grew after the craziness of Darwin and his theories, which by his own standards should have been thrown out 100 years ago, or at least 50, but are held on to because people will refuse to acknowledge the truth, just like Romans says. The law textbooks began to change. It was no longer about natural law, that there's only judicial precedent. What's good law? Well, whatever the judges say it is. Boy, we don't have any of that going on today, do we? I know what the plain writing is. I don't want to. I'm taking this from some obscure letter over there 3,000 miles away that doesn't mean anything, and I'm going to pull a phrase out of it, and that's what I'm going to build my... Or now it's not. They don't even seek for justification. It's just, I made this up out of my head. I like it this way. I'm going to do it. The arbitrariness of the law. But we need to understand that the Lord is the lawgiver. James says it this way, James 4:12. New Testament, James 4:12. James says it this way. There is only one lawgiver and judge. There's only one. He makes the rules. He makes the rules. We have taught these three lies to our children. Do you remember what God commanded families to do? These words that I give you today, they're not just for you, but also for your children. What are you to do? Talk about them while you're on your way. Talk about them when you come and when you go. Talk about them when you go to sleep and when you wake up in the morning. Teach them. For the last two or three generations, we have taught our children these lies. And then we wonder why we have the fruit that we have. Why is it that we have such violence in our society? There is no judge. If there is no lawgiver, if whatever I think is the right thing to do, I get to do, then why shouldn't it be that way? If everything's arbitrary and you're in my way, what should I do? Why, it's survival of the fittest. These three lies. There is no creator, there is no lawgiver, there is no judge. These three lies have poisoned our entire society. Because when you take out those three truths and replace them with the lies, those three great lies, you end up with exactly what they had in the days of Judges in the Old Testament. Everyone did that which was right in his own eyes. Judges 17:6. Everyone did that which was right in the sight of his own eyes. Where you're left. Here's my question. What are we going to do to to stand up for the truth. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 13, love joyfully sides with the truth. How can we side with the truth against these lies? That's why I've been arguing so vociferously for us to study about creation. We need to know about the arguments, the scientific arguments for the proof of God, because you cannot defeat a lie without the truth. And stating an opinion is not giving the truth. That's why Peter said, everyone needs to sanctify the Lord Jesus in their heart and be ready always to give an answer to the hope that is within you. Not just an opinion, an answer. Why is it? Why is it that that science teacher in high school that showed you the chart was up through a guy in a Harvard business suit? Is a pack of lies. Why is it that even if the universe is, as some claim, 13.8 to 15 billion years old, that's a drop in the bucket. If the earth was 15 billion times 15 billion years old, that still wouldn't be enough for one single life form to have evolved anywhere in the universe. And so, these moronic scientists, faced with the reality of the fact that somebody had to create DNA, it simply could not have evolved. Say, well, life began on another planet and was brought here. Well, that helps. Then where did it come from on that planet? Well, now you've taken that 13.8 billion years and you've cut it back quite a ways, because that life had to evolve and grow up from a single cell to an intelligent being, learn how to break the speed of light, go out into the universe, spread life to other planets. Okay. But even after you take that away, where'd the life on that planet evolve? Well, we don't know. God, the Creator, God, the Lawgiver, God, the Judge. We need to argue for all that is within us. We cannot present the gospel without presenting this truth first. There cannot be a Savior if there's no Creator, because there's nothing to save us from, because we've offended no one. Cosmic accidents don't offend their Creator. People that God lovingly crafted and gave a mission and a purpose, but that defied their Creator, rejected His love, and sold themselves into wicked sin, need a Savior. If there's not a Judge and a Lawgiver and a Creator, there's no need for a Savior. And they understand that perfectly. That's why they attack the Creator, the Lawgiver, and the Judge. Let's bow together. Oh God, You said in Your word, study to show Yourself approved. Some of us find this stuff very hard to comprehend. It's hard to wrap our brains around. That's why You said study to show Yourself approved. Don't just sit around and listen to a message and go, yeah, 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 study. Show Yourself approved. Oh God, may we do exactly that, to the glory of Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen.